Today I've entitled the message, Christmas When It's Not So Joyous. For some, as I've stated earlier, Christmas can be a time that is the most joyous time of the year. You're just happy, you sense the Lord's presence, you sense Him working in your life, there's no major issues going on, and you got money to buy kids the presents you want to get them, and you know, just things are good, and it's a good time of the year. But sadly, though, this time of year is very, very depressing for a lot of people, and it can be for a lot of reasons. It could be the loss of a loved one, and of course, the Christmas time brings that back to your memory. It could be that you're under some kind of sickness in your body. It could be a relationship issue that's going on, and you know, you just said, man, if this was better, I could really have a joyous Christmas. But we just get discouraged and even depressed at times for a whole lot of reasons. And in Psalm chapter 42, we see the psalmist who clearly was depressed. We see a psalmist who clearly said that, God, you don't seem to be near me. Where are you in the midst of what I'm going through? And I know I've been in times like that. I'm going through a little bit of that right now. In some areas in my own body, but I'm just praying that God will do some miracles today.
Amen.
What do you need? What do you need? Is it physical healing, restoration, financial breakthrough? Whatever it is, I don't know. I'm just praying God will do some things today. And if He doesn't show up today and do it in the way that I think He ought to, then it's coming. And that's where it is. This message is to turn our thinking from, well, God, do you really care? Do you really want to do healing in my body? Or is it just not your will? It's to bring hope. So let's dive in. I just believe God's going to bless some people today. He has me already, and I'm just praying for even more. Okay? Psalm 42, let's start in verse number 1. As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? He clearly is not hearing from God. Would you agree with that statement? How he doesn't feel the Lord kind of coming upon him. He doesn't sense the Lord coming and easing his pain, whether it's emotional pain, physical pain, whatever he's going through. So he's clearly struggling. And he says, where are you, God? What's going on? Just a thought, by the way. I heard this said by Rick Warren one time. There's spiritual dry times in our life when we just really don't sense a presence of God. You think, well, what have I done wrong? And I just don't sense Him hearing me. Have y'all ever had times like that, spiritual dryness in your life? Look at this quote. I believe God seemingly, now you notice that word seemingly. Could we see that next slide? I believe God seemingly withdraws from us. He never withdraws from us, by the way. I believe God seemingly withdraws from us to teach us not to go on feelings, but on the fact of what He has said in His Word. How many times have you been in church and you maybe it's a song that was powerful, it got your emotions revved up, and you said, man, I sense God's presence here today. The Holy Spirit really showed up. Well, yeah, He showed up, but He showed up when you didn't feel Him too. You see what I'm saying? So I think that God sometimes seemingly withdraws from us where we don't get dependent upon our feelings. Anybody can high-five God and praise God when you see Him working, when you see Him doing things that seems good in your eyes. But sometimes those things that are hurtful and all and so forth that He has not removed you from yet, He's still working in the midst of those times too, you see. But the psalmist then remembered the good times. You remember? Now you're going to see him constantly saying, Lord, here I'm struggling here. I don't see you working. But he doesn't stay there. He turns those words around, though, after he acknowledges how he feels. But he turns right around now and begins to tell himself the truth of some things. So if we could see the next slide, verse number 4. The psalmist began to remember the good times that he had with the Lord. Look at what he did. My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers. See if this looks like one of those times when you high-fiving God, okay? He said, when I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading the good procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of the great celebration. Lord, I remember how it used to be. Why can't it be that way now? Isn't that kind of what he's doing? You see, depression and discouragement, it's devastating in our lives. And believe it or not, depression is often misunderstood. I've never personally experienced deep depression. I think I've been discouraged like most of you have. But as far as deep depression, I've never experienced that. But I've seen firsthand in my wife what it looks like. And I've had her and others tell me kind of how it makes them feel. So I've heard them say, I'd rather have terminal cancer than to continue to experience this deep of depression. Does that tell you how bad it can be? When I'm depressed, I feel like I'm in a deep, dark hole with no escape. So depression and loneliness are real. So when there's, of course, an acute depression like that or a major depression, you need to get some help, folks. I tell you, I've sat under preaching, and I bet you have too, where they would abuse the Word of God and say, well, you don't need no psychiatrist. All you need is the Word of God. Get yourself right with Him. And just heap more condemnation on people. And I'm telling you, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't have a clue. They've not walked with anybody or experienced it themselves, or they wouldn't say stupid things like that. And I'm sorry, that's what it is. But anyway, get some help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. There's some good people that are helping a lot of people like that. But however, there are some steps that you can take, you and I can take, that we learned from this psalmist in chapter 42. When you're going through times of discouragement, when you don't sense God working, when you've got doubts and you're just frustrated because maybe your physical pain or your financial situation or your marital status or relational issues or whatever they might be, there are some things that we can do to begin to get our thinking corrected, that we begin to get our minds focused back where they should be. Now, I want you to notice how the psalmist, what he did in verse number 5. He, first of all, acknowledged his pain, but he didn't stop there. All right, are you ready? Here we go, verse 5. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? You see, he didn't walk around acting like nothing was wrong. He said, here, I'm discouraged. And it's okay to tell people that, but don't stop there, okay? But watch what he did. He said, why am I so sad? But I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior. And I think the rest of that verse says, Lord. You see, hope is what the psalmist was hanging on to. He said, God, I don't know why things are like they are right now, but Lord, I know You're still there. I know You've got a plan, and I'm putting my hope in You. Somebody made the statement one time, when there's hope in the future, there's power in the present. You show me somebody on their deathbed or in a hospital that has no hope for tomorrow, they just don't sense God doing anything, I'll show you a discouraged person. And more than likely, they're going to continue to go downhill. But if there's a glimmer of hope out there, it'll give you power right now in the present. And that's what the psalmist realized, that he said, man, I'm discouraged, things are not going right, but I'm not going to lose my hope. He made a conscious choice, a decision of the will to say, I put my hope in God. And that's what we've got to do in the midst of that. A good prayer, by the way, and if you want to jot this down, this is such a good verse to pray for yourself, to pray for other people when you know they're discouraged, is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 8. Paul said, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people who are His rich and glorious inheritance. Wow. Depression and discouragement, it's like a deep, dark hole, isn't it? It's darkness. You need your soul flooded with the light of Jesus Christ, with the hope of Jesus Christ. So what a good prayer to pray for somebody. Say, I pray your hearts will be flooded with the light of hope that God has not left you. Even though you can't sense Him working, my friends, know that He's still there, that He still loves you, that He cares. Notice verse number 6 as we get back in Psalm 42. My God, now I am deeply discouraged. See, he acknowledges where he's at again, but then notice what he did. But I will remember you, even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of Jordan, from the land of Mizar. You see, he didn't stay there. He said, again, I'm discouraged, but I know that you're there. You notice what he's doing. He's taking his thoughts captive. Y'all remember the verses? This is such an important thing. The power of the mind, the power of the words you say to yourself are so, so, so important. He's taking negative thoughts captive. He's taking the fleshly thoughts. When I say fleshly thoughts, I'm talking about this is what I see out there. I see I'm hurting. Folks, I've been going through some pain that I've never experienced before. And I've been crying out to the Lord in a way, and some of you are too, in different areas of your life, and you've been saying, Lord, I'm hurting. That's the fleshly, physical that I can see right in front of me. In other words, I acknowledge my wife left me, my husband left me, my kids are going crazy. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, acknowledge that. But the most powerful tool, though, is not to stay there. It's now begin to see from God's perspective, from a spiritual angle. You see that God is up here looking down. We're looking from underneath this mess. And you've heard the analogy of the tapestry, you know, when you look from the bottom side of a tapestry, a rug or something like that, how it looks all messy. But from the top view, you see a beautiful situation that God's working, a beautiful pattern, a beautiful life, a beautiful thing. And so we've got to begin to get to where God is and say, wait a minute, God, I'm making this problem bigger than you are. We talk about the negative. We talk about how we're hurting. We talk about how, I guess this is just as good as it's going to get. I guess God really doesn't want to heal everybody. If he did, he would have done this already. You see, that's where we're losing our hope, and we've got to say, wait a minute, that's not who God is, and I'll talk about that more in just a moment. But the enemy wants you to be swallowed up by your mistakes, by your past. Some of you think God's punishing you by inflicting sickness on you. And if you believe that, my friends, you reject that in the name of Jesus Christ. He's already removed every sin from you as far as the east is from the west. Why would he remove your sin from you? And in Hebrews 10:17 says, I will remember your sins no more. Why would he come now and inflict pain upon you and punish you by something you've messed up on if he's already dealt with it and removed it and said, I'm not going to remember it anymore. I'm not going to hold that against you anymore. Amen. You see, that's Satan's lie saying that you're receiving, saying, well, I guess God's mad at me. My friends, he's not mad at you. He loves you. And I know the voice of doubt always says, well, are you saying there's no consequences for sin? No, there's plenty consequences for sin. If I steal, I'm probably going to get locked up. If I'm a sorry employee and I disrespect my boss, chances are it's not going to end well. You know what I'm saying? There's consequences to sin. But it's not God coming and hammering you on the head and beating you on the head and making and the source behind that. Sin has its consequences. God's right there with you saying, hey, yeah, you blew it, but I saw that sin on the cross already. And I'm not mad at you. I still love you. You're still just as right with me before you sin as when you were in the midst of the sin and right afterwards. Amen. Now that's good news.
Amen.
That God's not, I was not raised like that. Until I come and confess that and get that back right with him again, I'm out of fellowship with God. I'm not right with God. Oh, my friends, God forgave you at the cross everything you've ever done. Now get that out of the way, okay? Don't let Satan condemn you with that. But what he will condemn you with, though, is saying, well, yeah, you think God really wants to heal you, but if he did, why has he not done it yet? So now you begin to doubt, does God really want you well? Wow, he does. He does. Take those thoughts captive in the name of Jesus Christ and say, you know what? If I ain't healed today, I'm going to be healed tomorrow or the next day or in God's timing. Actually, I'm already healed from God's perspective. By the way, when you're going through hurts and pains, and I've been quoting this scripture a lot, I said, Lord, by your stripes, I've been healed. And that's not talking about just spiritually. That's talking about physical healing. And by the way, just speaking, I'm just going to speak from the heart today. I've had a lot going on with me, with my pain, and some of you I know are really struggling, and I've been praying for you, that you've come to the place where you believe God has forgiven you of all sins. Are most of y'all there? Say amen if you have. Amen. All right. Now, how could he have forgiven you for a sin that you ain't even committed yet? Tomorrow. Because he's God, I'll help you. All right. Now, think about the sickness. You say, well, now how can I be healed already in the name of Jesus Christ, but yet I'm not even into tomorrow? There's a sickness that's going to hit some of you next week or a year or two from now. How can I already be healed from that? But see, look at it the same way you do as your sins being forgiven. You're saying, by faith, God has already looked from eternity past to eternity future. He's already taken everything and put that in under the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's already taken that sickness upon himself at the cross. Why is it not being manifest right now in me right now? That's what I want to know. Are y'all okay? I've been asking these questions. I still don't have all the answers, but one thing I do know, that he has taken my sickness in his own body at the cross, and I'm going to show you a verse here in just a minute that proves that. But we've got to kind of continue to believe about healing, about financial provision, about restoration of things like that. The way we see, God has already provided everything spiritually for us, even though it hadn't happened yet in our little chronological timetable. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We've been talking a lot about taking thoughts captive. I must show you this verse. Casting down, we'll talk about those two Greek words in just a second. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, this would be something that's trying, that Satan's trying to exalt himself above the knowledge of God. For example, you say, well, I guess it's just not God's will to heal me because it ain't healed me. Well, the Bible says by his stripes I've been healed. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. How healthy and whole is Jesus Christ?
Perfect.
It's perfect. You see, I'm not seeing it manifest right now. But see, that's where faith comes in. And I've got to look to the future, look to the hope and say, I don't care what my body's telling me. I'm healthy, I'm whole, and I am in Jesus Christ. And in his timing, he's going to make that manifest to me. I'll give you an example. Sometimes you may have to wait years. I hate to tell you that, but you know the story of the little angel. We had raised her as a foster child, right, as a five-year-old baby, got her out of the hospital, and of course the granddad ended up getting custody a year or so later, and we had to, but he was a truck driver, so he said, you know, I can't take care of her during the week. The grandmother died in the midst of all this, and so he couldn't take care of her, so he said, would y'all keep taking care of her? And we certainly was praying already that God would allow us to adopt her. But every weekend, every Thursday night, we'd take her home knowing that she was going into a home that was not a good situation. I mean, we prayed, we pleaded the blood of Jesus Christ over her. This went on for 7 more years. Till finally something did happen to her that was a very negative, which led to us filing a deprivation suit and so forth, that we finally got to adopt her. But we had to wait 8 years to get to adopt that little girl. But we kept looking, we kept believing. In the midst of how hurtful it was, we said, God, you love her more than we do. And we kept believing. So I'm telling you today, some of you are hurting. You're struggling physically, financially, emotionally, whatever it is. You lay it on the altar and you say, God, I'm believing you for good. I'm believing you for a miracle. That I'm not going to give up that hope. I'm not going to listen to those voices from the enemy that says God doesn't care. That says, well, I guess it's not God's will to heal you. My friends, you take those thoughts captive. You cast them down. I said I was going to talk about those words, casting down. I looked that up, and these words are used again in Acts chapter 13, verse 19. And they're the Greek words that means to destroy. And in Acts 13, 19, it uses the word, the English word, destroy. So destroy the thinking that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, anything that's coming your way, I don't care if it's whatever it is, you see it right in front of you, and you say, this is against the knowledge of God, and I'm casting that down, I'm destroying that, I'm not going to receive it. I'll give you an example. This week, I was at one of the supply houses here in town, and I was limping around, and I've been hurting this week a lot. And I had an epidural on Wednesday. It seemed to help some, but it's not good right now. And I was limping around, and one of the guys in there, who I know is a Christian, he looked at me and he said, what's going on? And I told him about this sciatic nerve pain, and it's just about crippled me. It's had me in bed since, you know, for the week of Thanksgiving. And I tell you, it's miserable. Some of you that you've told me you've dealt with this, so you know what I'm talking about. And but anyway, he said, well, you know, you got to take care of yourself. Health is all you have. And I was listening, you know, and that's Jesus is all we have, by the way. But then he said something that I tell you, I had to rebuke, and I didn't do it in front of him, but I did it right after he left my sight. He said, this is a Christian talking. He said, you know, health's all you have, and one day God's going to take that from you. Is that against the knowledge of God? And I said, whoa. I said, he thinks that God's doing this to people? Folks, you remember when Jesus was walking the earth, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? We have a tendency to think God's this big God with a big stick, and Jesus is our mediator, and he's the one keeping God off our back. Right? He came to die for us so God wouldn't take out his wrath upon us, you know? That's a false view of God, by the way. Okay? That's another sermon. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Did you ever see Jesus get up and go over and take his rod, picture rod of Moses, strike somebody's leg and make them cripple? If you turn from that sin, I won't do this to you anymore. I got to teach you a lesson. Did y'all ever see anywhere in Scripture that Jesus inflicted pain on anybody? What did he do? He healed everybody that came in his midst. Are you listening? Jesus wants you well. And I'm telling you, don't let Satan take that from you. Do like the psalmist. Somebody says there, I mean, they see me walking around and crippling, and by the way, I'm praying this is gone before the day's over. And Donna, and what's your daughter's name? Glenda, home. Michael's back there in the cafe somewhere with a back hurting. What is your deal? What do you need? I'm just praying that God does a miracle. But if he doesn't today, I'm going to walk out these doors. Somebody's going to see me crippling around. I'm trying to take the pain off of it. I'm going to tell them, listen, I'm dealing with this sciatic nerve problem. That's what the psalmist did. He acknowledged where he was. But what did he do next? Come on. This will help you practically tomorrow. He acknowledged who God was. He said, yeah, this is where I'm at now, but my hope is in God. My healing is around the corner. You put it in your words. I'm telling you, look at what he did. Let's continue. This is really some good stuff. I want to give you another example. If you're restless, and there usually if you're restless, you're worried. Typically, doesn't that kind of go together? You're worried about what am I going to do if this happens? And if this doesn't happen, how is that going to affect my family? And if I don't get well, am I going to lose my job? And all these things, we're worried, we're restless, there's a lack of peace. Now maybe you want to take some notes. Here's some powerful verses that I believe if you can get this basic principle down that you, Christ is peace, you have his peace, that this will be the foundation of maybe you keeping that hope that the psalmist had, okay? So I'm going to use peace as an example, or a lack of peace. Well, first of all, realize Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Since we're at Christmas time, you probably want to remember Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You remember this prophecy that talked about the child coming? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called, watch it, Wonderful. Say this with me. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Not only is Jesus the Prince of Peace, we have his peace already. If you are praying for God to give you peace, you are praying to enter a room that you're already in.
Amen.
It's like, preacher, how do you know that? Well, jot down Ephesians chapter 2. I didn't say you're experiencing God's peace all the time. Clearly we don't. And when we're worried, we're anxious, we're restless, there's not a peace going on right then, right? So we've got to be reminded, maybe this is going to be your ammunition scripture page today, that when Satan starts to discouraging you, you pull it out. And you have these scriptures printed out like I do in my notes here, and you just begin to quote those to yourself and to the devil, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us." Would you say, "I have Christ's peace"?
I have
Christ's peace.
Amen.
He united the Jews and the Gentiles into one people. Now watch this. I didn't see this earlier this week, but I saw it this morning as I was going over this message. It says that he united the Jews and the Gentiles into his own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Now, I want you to back up now. This is just telling you one thing that Christ did in his body. The Bible says that by his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
By the way, he took your sickness that's ailing you right now into his own body at the cross. Okay? He took everything. He took your poverty. You say, preacher, you want them prosperity preachers? I'm one of them prosperity preachers. Not like you might think. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that he became poor that we might become rich. That doesn't mean you've got $1 million in the bank. Riches is health. It's security and just knowing you're loved and secure. It's having a good job and so forth. But I'm telling you, we Christians are not claiming our new covenant rights. First of all, we don't know what they are. And number two, we think that God's out to keep us from them or something. And it's really Satan. Satan has come to kill, destroy. Christ has come to give the abundant life. I hadn't felt like I've had the abundant life in my body this week. I'll just be honest. And I told the Lord that. But I also kind of was studying this message too, so I began to apply the principles that I see in Psalm 42, where I said, yes, this is what I see, but this is not who I am. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, by the way, back to this Christ taking this into his body on the cross, we've been buried with Christ and raised with him with every attribute that Christ has. Wow. Colossians 3:15. Look at this. We continue to talk about peace. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. We don't let peace rule in our hearts sometimes because, number one, we didn't know we had it. We thought we had to pray for it and ask God for it. But now that we know Christ is peace, he's granted us his peace already in Ephesians 2:14. You see, build on scriptures. This is the knowledge of God. When Satan says you don't have the peace of God, look at your life. Look what a miserable wretch you are. We're all worried and so forth. You need to shut him up. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ and say, wait a minute, that's not who I am. Pull out the Bible and quote these scriptures. But now we need to let that same peace that we have rule. In other words, walk in who we are. You see what he's saying here? Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. In other words, one way of reminding God of who you are and what you have is to thank him that you have his peace. You're worried, you're sick, you're hurting. Say, Lord, thank you that I have your peace. This symptom does not define me, and I'm not going to be ruled by it. I'm not going to put this problem bigger than you are, God. You see what I'm saying? Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." You see, that's casting down the worry. That's casting down the anxiety, whatever it is, the negative thoughts, and you're saying, "Wait a minute, that's not who I am. I'm putting my trust in you." Philippians 4, you know this. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Don't worry about anything." Paul wasn't going through what I'm going through. No, he went through a whole lot worse than you and I went through. Wow. We think we've hurt him. He's beaten and left for dead and had Christians chasing him, had those under the law chasing him, had government chasing him. My goodness. He said, remember in another verse, he said, "I've been hungry and I've had food and I've not had food, and I've had shelter and I've not had shelter, and in every situation I have learned to be content." Well, look at what he says here. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray." In other words, bring your mind. Now this is good. Bring your mind in alignment with the knowledge of God.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Bring your thinking in line with what God says. Repeat back to God what He said. He's not forgetful, but you need it for your own benefit, right?
Amen.
"Instead, pray about everything. Bring in line through prayer what God says. Tell God what you need. Thank Him." Notice the word thanksgiving in the midst of all this. Thank Him in advance. It didn't say it had come yet, but thank Him in advance. "Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace." You see, thanksgiving up front is the catalyst to thrusting you into walking in peace. Do you see what he's saying here? He says, thank Him, then you'll experience God's peace. That's what we want. We have His peace. The Bible says so, or we can just say, well, the Bible's not true. Right? We have His peace, but I don't experience it all the time. Actually, I experience more worry and anxiety than I do peace. Well, let's do something about that. Let's say, wait a minute, I'm going to begin to thank God for what it is that I need right now. Maybe it's healing in my body. Maybe it's financial breakthrough. Maybe it's relationships restored. Whatever it is, say, God, I'm thanking You that I am healthy, I am whole right now in advance. Say, preacher, that's being hypocritical. People are going to taunt you, and they're going to say you're crazy and say, well, if your God really loved you and cared for you, then He would have done it so. So it begins to cause you doubt. And you remember that's what the psalmist said? He said, they taunt me day and night. Where is your God? So people are going to make fun of you when you thank God in advance for the healing right now, or for the finances right now, for whatever right now. But do it anyway, okay? All right. "Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand." Paul said, I want to walk in a peace that passes all understanding. The world says I ought to be worried about this thing. But God says, I'm in Him, and I'm not to worry. I've got this thing. You just got to trust me. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, back to Psalm 42. Look at verse 7. He said, I hear the tumult of raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. Once again, what is he doing? He's acknowledging what's going on. He said, man, this thing is crashing in on me. This lack of healing, this lack of relationship, this I'm about to lose my house, I'm about to lose this, and I see this thing crashing in upon me. But what did he do? He took those thoughts captive and said, that's what I physically see, that's what I see in the flesh, but I am not going to stay there. I'm now going to look at it from God's perspective, and I'm going to look it through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Look at what he did in verse 8. But each day the Lord pours His unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing His songs, praying to God who gives me life. Isn't this cool? He acknowledges the raging seas. He acknowledged the adversities, but he was not content with that thinking. He says, now what does God say about this? That'd be a good word, wouldn't it? When you begin to talk to yourself and you say, man, it's just, I just don't know what to do. I'm hurting. I don't see any way out of here. Wait a minute, self. What does God say about this thing? And you get out your Bible. You get out your notes from the sermon on 12:13 at Grace Cafe Church in 2015. And you see multitudes of scripture that tell you the knowledge of God. And you say, wait a minute, that's who I am. What did he do? Just in this verse alone, verses 7 and 8, he acknowledged, in verse 8 alone, he acknowledged his unfailing love for him. Wow. You want to experience peace in the midst of tragedies? Say, God, thank you for your unfailing love. That God, even though I don't sense you taking this pain away, God, I know you love me and you care for me. The Bible says that the psalmist, he began to sing songs of praise. He also does what Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 said. He prays for God. He thanked God for giving him life. He basically was recognizing that I'm in Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, for the whole week of Thanksgiving, I was in the bed with this pinched nerve. And I was even, the emergency room had put me on painkillers. The regular doctor wasn't open, so I ended up there three times. That's how bad it was. They put me on something mild, and I couldn't handle it. And I said, we got to go back. Anyway, they put me on some stronger stuff. And I never will forget this past Monday, I was hurting as bad as I've ever hurt, probably more so. And I cried out to the Lord. I was standing, I was twisting, I was trying every angle I could to try to get some relief. And I cried out, I said, Lord, by your stripes, I've been healed. I said, Lord, I'm crying out loud, I'm crying tears in pain. And I said, Lord, I said, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I begin to tell myself who I am. I said, I'm holy. I'm set apart. I said, Lord, I'm healthy. I'm whole. And I begged God to relieve that pain. And it didn't happen instantly. But within about 10 or 15 minutes, I sensed a sensation. It didn't take it totally away. But it was just enough to make it bearable. Look at verse 9. Might have could have been my cry on Monday. Oh God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? Part of the time through this, I heard a little voice that was not of God saying, well, if God really wanted you well, he would have done something by now. It's just not God's will. I said, I reject that in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, God, you do want me well. And I said, I ain't seen it yet, but I believe it's right around the corner. Look at verse 11. He said, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Watch him switch to change gears here. I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. One thing I've noticed that even though we are complete in Christ, that God doesn't choose to allow that manifestation to show forth always. It's clear in my body and some of you that are experiencing some problems that even though you're complete in Christ, you're whole in Him, you're perfect in His sight, you're not walking in that and experiencing that right now. That's the part I'm saying, Lord, I want to figure out how can I walk in this. Amen?
Amen.
If we have it, I want to walk in it. Don't y'all? Okay? So what do we do in the midst of that? As I've been hurting over the last few days, I've been asking these tough questions to the Lord. Look at verse 11 again. I kept saying, Lord, what am I to do in the meantime? He said, look at verse 11 again. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Here's the part. It's like it jumped off the page at me. He said, I will put my hope in God. He said, Carlton, you've got to put your trust in me. Faith is walking when you don't understand. Faith is believing God's best when we don't see God's best. He said, you've just got to keep trusting me. Keep believing me. Don't let Satan take this from you. That I want you well. I want you better. I don't know why he don't do it. Y'all ever just get real with the Lord? He's okay with you doing that, by the way. I had somebody one time, well, you should never question God. Oh my goodness, drop that religious nonsense. He knows our heart. Right? Amen. You can be real with God. He can take it. He knew what you were thinking before you said it anyway. As my brother Keith said one time, he said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? And we think we're worried about telling him something we're thinking. Oh my goodness. What is your hurt, discouragement this Christmas season? I will put my hope in God. Keep saying that in the midst of the hurt until you see the breakthrough come. Proceed to the emergency scriptures and prayer that you've listed today. Maybe God had you just to write these down where you've got something you can go to. Hey, I want to encourage you to listen to people like Joel Osteen. There's pastors around here telling you not to listen to him. I tell you, God used Joel Osteen just yesterday. I was listening to one of his sermons and I was discouraged. This thing's about to drive me crazy, y'all. I'm just not one to sit around and I want to work, I want to be doing. And I've just been bedridden. I told my wife, I said, I can't even set up at a table hardly and work. Now, by the way, I'm not feeling any pain right now. Thank God. We'll see what happens. But I couldn't even set up at a desk and work on my computer. I said, I need to be able to tie my computer from the ceiling where I can lay here and do this. Because I couldn't set up, I couldn't raise my knees up, and so forth. And I tell you, I've been discouraged this week. Joel Osteen came on, and he was talking about some of the very same things that God had laid on my heart for you today. And he's just like, you need to listen. But there's preachers in this county telling people that Joel Osteen is a false prophet because he's preaching hope to people. I'm telling you, you listen to him. Listen to Joseph Prince. Listen to people that are pointing you to the finished work of the cross. And you believe it. You believe it. You receive it as best you know how. Maybe call a friend and pray Ephesians 1:8. I want to show you that one more time. Ephesians 1:8. I pray that your hearts will be filled with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called His holy people who are His rich. Who are His rich and glorious inheritance. Sounds like Paul might have been a prosperity preacher, wasn't he? Let's see the discussion question. We're going to do communion here in just a few minutes. I want to give you a few minutes to talk, okay? Do you have times of discouragement and depression during the holiday season? Ask your group to pray for you. What are some steps you've taken or maybe will take to bring back the joy of Christmas?